I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We appreciate you finding the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Do you listen on one of our great local affiliates? If you do, we appreciate them, too, carrying as much of the show as they can. If they vacate for an hour for some local programming or otherwise, go to SiriusXM 206. You can catch the whole show. Go to the radio.com app. You can even rewind stuff and listen to the show. It's amazing. Just like CBS Sports Radio, favorite it, and you can pick it up anytime you wish. Jeff Diamond, former NFL executive, now with the Sporting News, opining on all things NFL, I'm sure has been paying close attention to this collective bargaining agreement discussion that's going on. And Jeff, earlier in the show, I don't need you to, like, as far as, I want to hear your thoughts on it, but earlier in the show, I was telling the audience that I believe the players will once again not be happy with the agreement that they sign when they sign it. It seems like that's a chronic thing. Whenever the NFL Players Association gets a new agreement, they're complaining about it less before the ink's dry. Do you think it'll be different this time?
Well, John, nice to talk with you this morning.
Good to have you on the show.
And it probably will be that way eventually. And it seems that seems to be the norm when labor agreements are signed. And NFL players always think they should be paid like NBA players. So there's always that dichotomy that's at work. But I think ultimately, when they look at this deal, whenever it's presented to the rank and file players, it's going to be pretty impressive in the way that minimum salaries are going to increase, and in the way that just the overall benefits and the work rules will be relaxed a little bit. So I think there are a lot of good elements to this deal, and I'm speaking not even as much as a former NFL GM and president. I'm talking really also. I work with an NFL agent group out of Minneapolis now, and we represent 30-some players around the NFL, including Adam Thielen of the Vikings, and we've got restricted free agents such as C.J. Ham, the Vikings starting fullback, that are going to be coming up for contract this year, and unrestricted free agents around the league. So we're obviously very curious to see how this thing unfolds. And the fact of the matter is, I think what's really interesting in this whole equation is that obviously DeMaurice Smith and his staff at the NFLPA negotiated this deal with the owners to the extent that it was able to be presented to the players. And it's just kind of a bizarre turn of events that now the player reps and the executive committee of the union want to go back to the owners. Well, I don't know if that's going to go real well when the owners are going to say, hey, we already negotiated this deal. You're supposed to present it to the players, knowing full well that the rank-and-file players are probably going to be pretty happy with the deal, because those are the guys, and you're talking about probably 60% of the membership of the players that aren't making the money that J.J. Watt's making or Richard Sherman's making, that are complaining about the deal because they don't want to play a 17th game. And for the other players, a lot of these players, the backup players and so forth, or the young starters in the league, a lot of those guys play the preseason game. So they're figuring, hey, I'm not playing any extra games. If we're going to have one less preseason game, one more regular season game, I'm still playing the same number of games. I'm still playing 20 games. And whereas the starters are thinking, oh, no, I don't like that. And I understand it from that standpoint. For example, from players like Adam Thielen, we represent, we don't need a 17th game for Adam and players like that. But for the rank and file, I think that they would probably approve this deal, especially when you consider, as I said, the increased benefits, the increased minimum salaries, and a lot of those guys are closer to minimum salaries, and all those type of things that could happen. So it's going to be really interesting next week. I don't really expect the ownership and the management council to agree to any substantive changes in this deal before it's presented to the players. And then I think once it gets presented to them, it'll be hard to turn down.
I enjoy the idea of, I'm hearing the players talk about a 17th game. And I can understand a player objecting to a 17th game. What I've been chuckling at is guys in my business saying, yeah, we don't need a 17th game. It's bad for the sport. We shouldn't have it. Do you know, I went back 10 years. There were 40 wildcard games that have been, you know, over a 10-year period, 40 wildcard games that were played. Do you know every single one of them was in the top 25 television shows of the year? Of the year. Television shows. And people in my industry, guys who do what I do for a living, are like, ah, I don't think the NFL needs to do this. They're watering it down. We love NFL playoff football, and we watch it, like, to record numbers. There's nothing they put on TV. We're watching more. Why would fans have any problem with this, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't think they would. And I think also the fact that they're still talking about starting the season after Labor Day, that maybe there'd be an extra week off before the regular season starts. And,
yes.
And as you said, the ratings are still strong, and this would add another wild card game. And so I think all those factors, and also the extra money for playoff teams to be an now there'll be two more playoff teams, theoretically. And that adds money in the players' pockets, too. And from the league standpoint, certainly ownership, teams want to be in the playoffs. GMs, I can tell you, you want to be a playoff.
Sure.
And so it's still 14 out of 32. It's still less than 50%, which is better than the NBA or the NHL that have over 50% of their teams in the playoffs with 16 teams. So, and you look at for example, 17 regular season games, and not that this is really a comparative, but the CFL up in Canada, they play 18 regular season games, and I think they play, I want to say, two preseason games.
And nobody's legs have fallen off, right? I mean, we haven't had a guy, nobody's head fell off their shoulders.
No, exactly. So
that's good.
I think that really is not that big a deal. And as I said to the rank and file players, it's not going to add any wear and tear to them because they're already playing preseason games.
I got one for you, though. The last seven seasons of the NFL, if you haven't had a bye week, you haven't made the Super Bowl. And it's the longest such stretch ever in the history of the Super Bowl since we've had wild card games. So if you play wild card weekend, you haven't made the Super Bowl in 7 years. It's become a real, real tangible advantage. I mean, that's a trend, that having the bye week. Now with one team getting the bye week, I'm wondering, is that going to just be a huge advantage if just the number one seed gets it?
Yeah, well, it certainly worked out that way for the 49ers and Chiefs this year.
Sure.
And as you said, for the last several years.
And the Chiefs were the two seed, you know, and honestly, if the Patriots don't lose to the Dolphins last weekend, the Chiefs are playing wild card weekend. They probably don't win the Super Bowl.
That's right. And I think that you could definitely see the difference for a team such as the Vikings, for example, who ended up playing on Sunday of wild card weekend in New Orleans, beat the Saints in that upset, and then they have to go to San Francisco to the West Coast and play on a Saturday on short week's rest, while the 49ers have sat for 2 weeks. And it was a huge advantage in that game. You could just see it the way the 49ers wore the Vikings defense down at the end with the running game. And so I think it is a factor, but hey, that's deserved by the team that gets that first seed, that has the top seed. And I think I think one of the things that players are a little worried about is that it's a precursor to perhaps having an 18th regular season game and perhaps 16 teams in the playoffs, so that there are no bye weeks. And that probably is something maybe down the road that would happen in the next labor agreement 10 years down the road. But I don't think it's going to happen before then, obviously. I'm not a big fan personally of adding that 17th game, just because I think that I like the season the way it is. But hey, if you're going to do it, and
sure,
for, as I said, for the players in our agent group, it's going to add some money in their pockets, some salaries, then I think it's fine. I think it's okay.
All right.
I think essentially in the final analysis, I think the 17th game is much ado about nothing, honestly.
I got around a minute here, so I'm going to throw a scenario at you. You are running an NFL team again. You've taken over a team, and this team has wild cardish level talent, but they need a quarterback. Which of the free agent quarterbacks, get Tom Brady out of the mix? Which of the free agent quarterbacks, guys that are bouncing around, potentially going to be looking for a job, would you bring in if your team had like 9-7-ish talent? But if they had a quarterback, you think they could go to 11-5?
Yeah, I think with the right system and the right coaching, I think Philip Rivers is an intriguing guy. I know he had a lousy year last year, was forcing balls and had a lot of turnovers. But I think if he gets reined in by a coaching staff and has a really good running game, which he really actually had in L.A. with the Chargers.
Right.
But I think if they get him to play under control and safer with the ball, then you've got a really smart guy who I think can help a team. And maybe it's a team such as Chicago or something like that. And I think Marcus Mariota is a guy that still has talent, and Jameis Winston does too. Again, if they can get these guys reined in so they're not making as many mistakes, Winston in particular, because the guy's got a lot of talent but just forces balls and makes mistakes.
Sure.
The right system, I think those three guys are pretty intriguing, and because the rest of the guys I expect to pretty much stay where they were, like Tannehill and Brady and so forth. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting crop and a lot of interesting free agents, and they're all kind of on pins and needles right now waiting to see what happens with this new system.
Look forward to talking to you again sometime, Jeff Diamond. Very good stuff. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks, John. Take care.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.